podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer, CEO of New Constructs. Today I'm going to share with you a stock that's dropped over 20% today, but is going to potentially drop even more. First, let me remind you how to access our research, newconstructs.com. Click on the research tab and get access to great predictions and warnings about which stocks would blow up and which stocks could go up. And actually, today I'm going to talk about one that we predicted was going to blow up about 6 months ago. You never know when the blow up's going to happen, but you do know when you're at risk today. I can't predict when these stocks will blow up. I can't predict when the accounting trickery will catch up with them. But what I can tell you, what I can predict, is that there is more risk in those stocks. And let's face it, we live in a world that's about risk reward. Unless you can predict the future. I know I can't predict the future. And so I try to focus on minimizing my risk and maximizing my reward. Those are the things I can do. And one of the best and most important ways to minimize risk is to know all the stuff that companies bury in the dark corners of their financial filings. New Constructs brings a light to the dark corners of financial filings, to footnotes, to the things your advisor, to the things your portfolio manager, to the things your analysts don't have time to read. I spent many podcasts talking about how long annual reports are, how much regulators, how much Wall Street analysts, how much hedge fund analysts, how much everyone struggles to go through these things. And really, honestly, no one knows better than I do. Because I don't think many people in the world have been through more filings than I have. I've read more of these things manually than I care to admit. It's almost embarrassing. I mean, on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the biggest filing nerd ever, dude, I'm a 20, right? I read them. But it's what endowed me with the knowledge that allowed me to be able to create technology to help read the filings faster. So sometimes being a nerd pays. Well, it paid big time with Bob Evans, ticker B-O-B-E. B-O-B-E, down over 20% today. When we wrote our article in October 2014 predicting that the stock was going to fall off a cliff, we were right. And the things we found in the footnotes, most notably, besides a whole lot of debt, was the fact that these guys were writing down assets. In fact, asset write-downs were growing while revenues were declining. Now, asset write-downs are not something you'll find on the income statement. That's on the balance sheet. You won't find it reported on any balance sheets. It's a balance sheet adjustment. You're not going to find this from any other data provider. You're not going to find this from anyone but New Constructs. We're the only firm, I believe, that tracks this information with scale across over 3,000 companies. We found that asset write-downs could be a leading indicator to fraud. We found that asset write-downs could be a leading indicator to stocks blowing up. We know that asset write-downs are an indicator of management failure. Let me explain what an asset write-down is. Let's say a company goes out and buys a tractor for $100. All right, and after a couple of years, you've depreciated it down, let's say, to $80. So the carrying value of that tractor on your balance sheet or its book value is $80. Well, you realize that your farming business isn't doing so well. So the net profit potential or value of that tractor is now just $70. But yet you still got $80 on your balance sheet. Well, to reflect the fact that you're not going to make as much money on that tractor as you thought, and again, you were just going to make as much as you paid for it to begin with, which isn't so great. Well, let's say you're gonna have to write that down now from the $80 that's on the balance sheet to 70. That's what you call an asset write down. So effectively, management took shareholder capital of 100, and after depreciation, had 80 left, and then had to mark down $10 for write-down. That's $10 of pure shareholder value destruction. That's management taking your money and instead of making more with it, creating less of it. Reduced an $80 investment to $70. That's shareholder value destruction in spades. We track that. And the key thing to track that is you got to make adjustments. You got to make the original write-down when it comes to the income statement can often be buried in restructuring and non-recurring charges. We find these little write-down charges all over the place in the MD&A. Oftentimes, they're reported in amounts that most analysts would consider immaterial, but when you add up all the little immaterial charges, it becomes a material amount. And you got to add these things back to the balance sheet over time. It's not a one-time thing. Companies take these charges a little bit here, a little bit there, year over year, and eventually they add up. You know, for example, with Dynergy, we found that they'd written off over $3.5 billion in assets. After tax, $3.5 billion in write-downs, 16 charges over the 3 years preceding them being busted for fraud. All right, the billions of dollars of write-offs represented about $3.5 for every dollar left on the balance sheet. So in other words, that company had written, for every dollar on its balance sheet, it had written off $3.50. To be specific, $3.46. Ding, 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 ding. Management shareholder value destruction. All right. That's bad. You're not going to see that in income statement. You're not going to see that in your return on equity analysis. You're not going to see that in your CFROI, your free cash flow. You're not going to see that anywhere except for new constructs. We add those values up and we keep track of those write-downs over time so you understand the true amount of capital in the business. It was a big red flag for Bob Evans. And in addition to that, we were measuring the returns on capital of the business, which when you add back write-downs to the balance sheet, make the business look a lot worse than just the plain accounting metrics or the ROE. The ROE, the accounting data are not enough. Accounting is like the ingredients in the recipe. You got to mix all the ingredients together and you got to have all the ingredients for the recipe to turn out right. And the recipe that we produce, the recipe or the product or the food that we're trying to produce, that's the best measure of cash flows. Economic earnings, free cash flow. We have the best recipe for that because we have the best ingredients. In fact, we're the only firm that has all of the ingredients for doing that. Other firms that are using data feeds, as I've said before, and I guess I'm beating a dead horse here again, all right, they don't get all the data. You just don't get it, period. So, Bob Evans, we noticed that there were write-downs growing faster than revenues. Revenues were on decline, write-downs were on the ascent, right? Management's destroying value. And yet the valuation was out of control. So let me give you some specifics here on valuation. The stock was $43 a share when we wrote the article, right? And one of the things we pointed out was that in order to justify that price, the company had to grow its profits by 70% compounded annually for 16 years. All right? This is a company whose business profits have been in decline consistently over the prior 5 years. All right? Now, we also took into account the issue with the activist investor, Mr. Sandel, right? And if he were able to monetize the real estate for Bob Evans and get about $1.1 billion, which I thought was a sort of a best case scenario, $47 a share, right? That would effectively mean he could buy back around or spend around $564 million or $24 a share to buy back stock, leaving you with about $19 a share left, right? And that's, you know, he couldn't spend it all to buy back stock because he'd have to pay down some debt too. So we thought it was fair to assume about half of the purchase or the sale of the real estate in his reorg, we go to buying back stock, returning cash to shareholders, which leaves you about $19 per share left, right? But to justify $19 a share, that still means that Bob Evans would have to grow its profits by 60% compounded annually for 8 years. Again, that seems really high for a company that had steadily declining sales and profits. If we assume just 9% growth, the stock is worth $11 a share, or 39% downside from the $18, right? So effectively, Sandel can't save investors. The business isn't working. They've got way too much competition from firms with so much more scale and doing a similar thing, like a McDonald's, like a Cracker Barrel. Scale is key to these businesses. You're not going to have such a whiz-bang awesome product that you're going to be able to dominate people, okay? Breakfast food is breakfast food, right? It's hard to beat your home breakfast. Yeah, and it's hard to buy or create sausage at the store or at the restaurant that's that going to be that much better than what you can buy at the store. Let's just face it, all right? On top of that, you've got increasing competition from the fast casual businesses, the Starbucks and the Panera Breads of the world. I mean, let's face it, those are good businesses. They're hard to compete with anyway. The packaged foods product is the best part of the business, but it's not enough to save the business. And there's more of that detail in our research report that you can get from the blog. Remember, Danger Zone, Bob Evans, October 2014. That's my podcast for today. Again, we want to emphasize that footnote research matters. And this stock pick and this blow up is a perfect example of how much footnote research matters. Let me tell you, even though Bob Evans is down by over 20% today, as our research indicates, it's got much farther to fall. The balance sheet, the earnings of this business are much worse situation than what they appear on the face of the financials. You can't trust the earnings here. You can't trust the reported financials. You can't trust the reported balance sheet. You can't trust the reported cash flows. The only thing you can trust is research that looks in all the footnotes and the MD&A. That's what we do. We're here to help you build trust with your clients. We're here to, if you invest directly yourself, to build trust with your own investments, to feel better about your investment decisions so you can have a better conscience about what you're doing. Whether you're giving advice, you're going to be better able to fulfill a fiduciary responsibility to yourself and to your clients. If you got research that looks in the footnotes. Look, I know annual reports are nearly impossible to read if by yourself or as a human. But when our products are as inexpensive as they are, as little as $49 a month for diligence, $49 a month to do proper diligence on one company is an incredible deal. Because it would take you at least probably 30 or 40 hours minimum to do that kind of work yourself. So a little bit over a dollar an hour is what we're charging. And by the way, given the fact that we've been through over 70,000 filings, I'm an accounting expert, I advise FASB regulators, I've been doing this work for over almost 20 years. We're pretty good at it. We're probably, you know, we got a little bit more experience than you have. And so, you know, getting us for a dollar an hour for one company is a heck of a deal. And if you wonder why my product is so inexpensive, it's because I've been on Wall Street. I've seen how the sausage is made. I've seen the big bucks. This, to me, New Constructs is not about trying to create a very special product and charge a few people a whole lot of money. I can do that. In some of my products, like our models, our institutional products, I still do that. But for the rest of the investors and for the rest of my products, I want the world to have this. I take a lot of pride and I get a lot of satisfaction out of the idea that New Constructs makes the world a better place. That New Constructs democratizes the capital markets. We help investors make more informed decisions. We help investors minimize risk. We put investors on fair footing with Wall Street insiders. We're here to help everybody. And I'm proud of the fact that I can have a business in the United States where I'm able to make money by making the system better. To me, in many ways, that's the purest expression of the American dream. And I'm proud to be able to do that. And I think it's part of my responsibility and part of my duty to my country to not just make a whole bunch of money for myself and a few people, but to make a whole bunch of money for everybody and myself along the way. To me, that's really the true American way. So that's why you're able to get the best research in the business at a price you can afford, at a price you need to be able to afford to do your proper diligence.